Our lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 1, skipping down to verse 7 through 14. Hear God's good news from Luke. One time when Jesus went for a Sabbath meal with one of the top leaders of the Pharisees, all the guests had their eyes on him, watching his every move. He went on to tell a story to the guests around the table, and noticing how each had tried to elbow into the place of honor, he said, "When someone invites you to dinner, don't take the place of honor. Somebody more important than you might have been invited by the host. Then he'll come and call out in front of everybody, 'You're in the wrong place. The place of honor belongs to this person.' And red face, you'll have to make your way to the very last table, the only place left. When you're invited to dinner, go and sit at the last place. And then when the host comes, he may very well say, 'Friend, come up to the front.' That will give the dinner guests something to talk about. What I'm saying is, if you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to simply be yourself, you will become more than yourself." And then he turned to the host. "The next time you put on a dinner, don't just invite your friends and family and rich neighbors, the kind of people who will return the favor. Invite some people who never get invited out. The misfits from the wrong side of the tracks. You'll be an experience, a blessing. They won't be able to return the favor, but the favor will be returned. Oh, how it will be returned at the resurrection of God's people." May God give us understanding of his holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Someone was telling me the other day a story about a pastor who was very attached to his reserved parking spot. Problem was, is that people kept parking in it. It said clearly by the spot, reserved parking, yet he'd show up and there'd be somebody parked there. So he decided, well, maybe if he just kind of changed the sign. So he changed it and he put "reserved for the pastor." Didn't do any good. People still kept parking in it. So he thought, well, maybe if I use a little sterner language. So he had a sign made that said, "Thou shalt not park in this spot." Still didn't work. So he's thinking and he's thinking and he's thinking. He finally has a brainstorm. Okay? Puts up a new sign that says, get this, "The one who parks here will be preaching Sunday." It did the job. You know, it's funny. We all have our little quirks and idiosyncrasies, right? And there are different things that we do. We like to have our own spot for different things. It somehow it makes us feel either more comfortable. We can be creatures of habit, and it's not always that we're trying to keep other people out of our space, but it's just nice sometimes to kind of know where you're going. One of the funny things about our worshiping here and worshiping over in the church, and some have asked about, you know, why we worship one place, why we worship the other, and looking too at the pluses and minuses of worshiping in different locations. And when we first, during the winter, were coming over here to help save on the fuel oil, it was interesting how people commented about the fact that over in the church, we all tend to be kind of creatures of habit. And you know who's going to be sitting where each Sunday morning. And some have even gone so far as to bring little extra padding or an extra box of Kleenex or different things. They know right where they're going. And so one of the interesting things as we started coming over here was it kind of mixed things up a little bit. And different folks commented on it, giving them a new opportunity to get acquainted with people that they hadn't you know, chatted with, and that it wasn't necessarily more comfortable on a certain level, but that there was some positives to it. Well, this whole hospitality issue can be difficult. It can be tricky. And one of the things that we as a church family value very much is being a hospitable congregation. We want people to feel at home. And yet sometimes, you know, when you're going in a new place, no matter how nice the people are, it can feel awkward because it's new and it's different. And you don't know, you're kind of afraid. Even if you go to somebody's home you haven't visited before and you haven't been there, you know, it's like every home has its own little set of kind of rules and unspoken things, and you may not know. And so you can do things that seem kind of normal, but where you end up feeling embarrassed. And we don't want to feel embarrassed, do we? We want to be able to do the right thing. Working down at the seminary, on a regular basis, the seminary hosts these amazing dignitaries from all over the world. And I get to kind of, I have the best of both worlds because I get to see the backside of all these things that are happening, all these events, but I get to do it from the media side so that I don't have to be the one who's worried about, you know, who's going to sit where, how this thing is going to be organized. I mean, they have, you know, many people, that's their job, is to make sure that these events go well and that the dignitaries feel honored, that everybody gets placed in the right spot, seated at the right table. But at times for me, it can seem so serious. My preference between you and me are settings that are more casual and formal, where we can just kind of be ourselves and where we don't have to worry about if every little, you know, thing, every little detail is absolutely perfect. In fact, when Tim and I planned our wedding years ago, we wanted it to be here, and we wanted members of the congregation to come to the wedding, and we also wanted them to come to our reception, which was actually down in Princeton. And those of you who were there may remember that the president of the seminary very graciously allowed us to have the reception in his beautiful backyard. And we had, there was just an amazing group of people. He was gracious enough to come. There was the president of the board of trustees came. There were some pretty serious folks that were there. And the last thing that Tim and I wanted, even though, you know, it was a special occasion, but we didn't want it to be overly formal and serious. And we wanted everybody who came, no matter who they were, whether they'd ever been to Princeton or not, we wanted everyone to feel comfortable. So whereas most weddings you'll go to, they have tables and things to sit around, but they also have the little name cards, and you better find the right seat and sit in the right seat. Stacey, you and your dad are dealing with this all the time. I bet the two of you have some real interesting stories to tell about that as well.
Every wedding.
Yeah. Interesting story. Every wedding, right? Every wedding. They're just these special events. So we didn't have any tables. We had chairs, and we had lots of food. But we didn't want people to be limited to sit in different places because we knew that that had the potential to create a certain awkwardness. Now, it probably instead created an awkwardness with your plate. But, you know, we create so many strange levels of do's and don'ts. And a lot of them really don't have any special meaning. A lot of them are meant to just make certain people feel better about themselves. And yet the reality of hospitality and of being welcoming is to make people feel comfortable and at home, not to make them feel that they don't belong. And unfortunately, some of our rules make people feel more uncomfortable than they do welcome. This is particularly strange when you consider the word hospitality. Have you ever really thought about that word, its meaning, its roots? It actually shares its meaning with the word hospital. You drop off the I-T-Y, hospitality is hospital. It also shares its roots with hospice. And of course, a hospital is a place for healing. And a hospice is a safe haven. And particularly in this day and age, hospice is a safe haven, as we mentioned earlier, for those who are nearing death. So what would happen? How might things change if we thought about that term hospitality differently? If we didn't confuse it with just simply entertaining. And as one psychologist has mentioned, entertaining too often becomes a situation where you have everything all spruced up and you invite people over to kind of show off your stuff. You've been to parties like that, right? Where people are showing off all their goodies and everything is just meant, you know, to show them off. But that's not what we're about. And that's not what we're called to. This week we got a couple of notes, thank you notes, from our guests who we are helping to find homes through IHN. And one of the families, Karen and Ariana and their children, Audra and Joseph, they wrote, "Everyone just wanted to say thanks for all your hospitality. I am amazed with all the caring people. Never met so many before. May God bless you all." That's what hospitality is. Caring people. And the other one, "Thank you for showing great hospitality to me, my son, and everyone in the IHN program. I appreciate the warm meals and warm smiles. From deep down in my heart, I want to thank you for everyone." This was love from Cagney and Marcus. Our families. They felt that you were genuinely giving them true hospitality. I know that when my feelings about the church changed, when someone described the church as being not a country club, not a haven for the saints, but a hospital, that changed my whole feeling when I started thinking about the fact how we are all, every single one of us, are all broken. Now, some of us may be better at hiding it than others, but in some way, all of us are broken. All of us are struggling. And as I mentioned, you know, even at the seminary, as we come in touch with all of these folks, well-known, many of them have written books, they're known around the world, they give lectures, they give tours, they are considered experts in their field. But when you come to know them, you come to know that they're no different than anyone else. They are still struggling. They are still trying to find their way. They are still trying to make sense of the world in their own way. And the thing is that Jesus here in this passage is making the case for the fact that we are all of value. There is no human being that is not of value to God. There is no human being in the world that God does not want to welcome and embrace and show love to. There is no human being who is not worthy of God's love. And all of us, in our brokenness, in many ways, if we accept that brokenness, if we can stop feeling ashamed of our brokenness, God can transform it, and He's able then to really use us when we can get past the shyness and the awkwardness and the sense of shame. There is no shame with God. The things that we fail at, the things that we excel at, they're different for every single person. And each one in this room, we have things that we're good at, we have things that we're terrible at. But God uses them all. Uses them all. When we seek Him. I just want to share one other thing with you this morning before we close. Actually, two things. Two food for thought. Mother Teresa, who we all know, gave so much. And she was asked, "How do you measure the success of your work?" And apparently she thought about it for a while before she answered the interviewer. And then she said, "I don't remember that the Lord ever spoke of success. He spoke only of faithfulness in love. This is the only success that really counts." And that's why she was never interested in attention or anything else. She was only interested in trying to be faithful in showing love to others. That's hospitality. And then there was Albert Schweitzer, who actually worked in the hospital among the least of these. Worked very, very hard caring for those who wouldn't otherwise have any care. And he said, "The only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve." The only ones who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. Think for a minute of what it must have been like at that party where Jesus was. All the people elbowing each other, jockeying for power, jockeying for prestige. They didn't get it. In this day and age, the people of wealth jockeying for power that we see all around us, they don't get it either. Why? Because as Jesus keeps trying to teach us, the only joy comes in serving others. That's where real success is. That's where real joy is. That's where real purpose is. The only ones among us who'll be really happy are those who serve others. Let's go and serve. Let us pray. Almighty God, it seems counterintuitive in this crazy world. Shouldn't it be better to have others serve us? Shouldn't it be better for us to get the attention? And yet those who really know realize that the world is backwards. And it's as we are caring for others and being faithful in that, as we are recognizing that all are made in your image, that's where the joy is. Help us to follow in that way. In Jesus' name, amen.